Amen. If you need translation, we have translation devices over there in the back. We're going to read this morning from Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. This is the part of scripture that IFGF Worldwide is reading today. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. It says, he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. I'm going to read that one more time. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. Can you imagine that? A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny, just two small copper coins. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. I'm not sure if the PowerPoint is working. Is it? Oh, there you go. Okay. All she had to live on. Discipleship is hard. Being a disciple of Jesus is hard. Did anyone tell you that it was going to be difficult to follow Jesus? When someone, maybe your Sunday school teacher, maybe your friend, maybe your family member came and told you, you need to be a Christian, did they say that it was going to be difficult? Did they say that it was going to be hard work? Did they say that it was going to be so demanding? Or did they just say, hey, just pray this prayer and Jesus lives in your heart. It's that easy. It's that simple. You'll go to heaven, right? But being a disciple of Jesus is hard. Here in Mark chapter 12, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He has entered Jerusalem, and Jesus now knows that the time is near, the time of his death. That is, he knows that the cross is before him. It's the final chapter. It's the final movement. It's the last scene. He's entered Jerusalem on a donkey as a king. People have waved their palm branches and have said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They have praised him. And now he's in the temple, the place where he belongs. He's in this sacred city, the place where offerings are given and where sins are forgiven. Jesus is in the temple and he's flipped tables. He said every single curse word at the priests and the elders of the temple. And he is not ashamed of his actions. He did not run away or hide because of his maniacal episode. No, he's still there in the temple. And he's sharing with his disciples and with anyone who wants to listen some lessons. He condemns the priests. He condemns the scribes. He condemns the elders. He condemns the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He basically says that everyone's wrong, right? Everyone is wrong and everyone is making him angry. he says that everyone's interpretation of scripture was wrong. Everyone's practice of religion was wrong. Every religious leader in that place is a hypocrite. They were all practicing hypocrisy. They were all hypocrites. Then Jesus preached the greatest commandment. In the midst of his anger, in the midst of his frustration, he preaches the greatest commandment, reminding God's people that the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he preached the second greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's all he had to say. These are the greatest. According to Jesus, these two commandments go hand in hand. They might as well just be one commandment because you cannot do one without the other. And there is nothing, nothing, nothing greater than these. So imagine there, you're with Jesus in the temple and you hear him preaching and teaching in the midst of all this busy crowd. And then imagine Jesus pausing. He's sitting there and he's looking at something. You know, like in the movies when someone is looking at something and it zooms into the background, right? It zooms into this particular scene and there is this focus and Jesus looks into the busy crowd. His eyes are fixed and people are beginning to wonder, Jesus, what are you looking at, right? They're looking around. What is Jesus so focused on? What is he looking at? In the midst of all the chatter and all the noise inside of that crowded, busy temple, Jesus is focused on something. And then you see that he's focused on the offertory, the treasury, this offering box. He's focused on people giving money to the offering. You see this line of people waiting to give offerings, and then you begin to realize, oh, there's the sound of coins jingling. There's the sound of coins being dropped into the box. You hear the clinging of coins being dropped into the pan, and you hear this one man, and he dumps all of this big bag of coins into the offering and makes this loud ring inside of the temple. Then the man next to him has this bag that he's jingling. You know that he is also rich, that he has something major to contribute to the temple. There's lots and lots of coins, and you hear the sound of copper and silver and gold just ringing throughout the temple. Everyone is bringing their offerings. They are clanging against the pans. They are clinking against each other, and then it's the widow's turn. It's the widow's turn, and you hear nothing. It's her turn to give coins into the offering, but you hear nothing because her two coins don't really make much sound. It's kind of insignificant compared to the rest, compared to this, the rich man's coins, compared to the coins that he has in his purse, the coins that she dropped into the offering bucket. It's nothing. Everything else drowns out her sounds, and you can barely hear the noise of two copper coins being dropped into the bucket when there are so many bags filled with hundreds of coins chiming all around her. The sound of her two metal coins were insignificant. It was so faint. No one would have paid attention. No one would have noticed her two coins, but Jesus was looking at her. Jesus was staring at her, causing all the disciples to also look at her. Everyone was now looking at her too. Do you remember the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler from Mark chapter 10, just two chapters beforehand. The one who obeyed all the commandments, the one who was so rich and famous. Do you remember him? I'm sure that if he entered that temple at that time, everyone would have noticed, right? Everyone would have turned their gaze towards him because of hashtag celebrity status. When a significant man of his caliber walks into the temple, everyone pays attention. Everyone stops what they're doing and they look and they stare because that's what you do when a celebrity walks into a room. I was recently on a plane back from Kentucky, back to Atlanta, and there was a famous rapper from the 90s who is worth $350 million on that plane. And as people were walking into the plane, they looked at him and they were shocked at who they saw and they just stared, right? Because that's what you do when someone famous is in your presence. That's what happens when someone significant is in your presence. You stop what you're doing and you look. You pay attention. So, this rich young ruler, do you remember? He came to Jesus. But yet Jesus did not acknowledge his presence. He had to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I've done this and that and that. I want to be your disciple. Jesus should be so impressed that someone so rich and so famous, someone so powerful would want to be a follower of Jesus, would want to be a disciple of Jesus. He even called Jesus a good teacher. You know, if someone were to come to me like some celebrity, I don't know, Shaquille O'Neal or someone were to come to this church and say, I want to follow you and be your disciple, wouldn't that would make me feel so good and I would be so impressed by him and by myself, you know, like. But the significant man with significant wealth left Jesus' presence grieving. I don't know if you understand this, but the significant man came to Jesus. And Jesus should be so impressed that such a significant man would choose to follow him, but yet Jesus did not notice this man's discipleship. He did not notice this man's discipleship. Because being a disciple of Jesus is hard. Discipleship is hard. Jesus did not notice the rich young ruler, but Jesus notices a widow. A widow, first of all, she's a woman, which means she's of lower class, and then a widow, which means that she is worthless, basically. That's who his eye is set on in the temple. Someone whose gifts would not only be insignificant, but greatly insignificant for a building fund. Two copper coins can't build a church. Two copper coins can't run a ministry. Two copper coins can't send missionaries to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's who Jesus notices in the temple. I'm sure that when Jesus was staring at the line of people giving money, the disciples must have surely thought that he was thinking about that rich person or that rich person. He must be staring at that rich person. He can't really be noticing the widow with only two copper coins, two insignificant copper coins. But Jesus takes notice of her and acknowledges her presence in the temple to all who are around him and says, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything. Everything she had, all she had to live on. Following Jesus is hard to do because it requires everything. everything. Jesus notices when we give our everything. Unless we give our everything, we cannot be a disciple of Jesus. And giving everything is hard to do. Like the rich young ruler, I like my security, right? I like my riches. I'm not rich, but I like what I do have. I like my savings account. I like my retirement account. I like my shoes. I like my clothes. I like my condo in Buckhead. I like to eat out whenever I want to. Again, I'm not rich, but I do enjoy my middle class first world lifestyle. It's hard to give up. It's really hard to give up. And even when Jesus is the one who tells me to give it all up, and I love Jesus, it's still hard to do. It's hard to give up everything, my hopes, my dreams, my future, my will to Jesus. It's hard. And if anyone tells you that it's easy to give up everything for God, they're a liar, right? That's why songs like the Janamu that we just sang, that's a hard song to sing, y'all. I give up my hopes, my dreams. I give up my will just for your glory. That, if you can sing that easily, I don't know if you truly grasp it. That's why songs like I Surrender All is so hard to sing. The widow had only 2 copper coins. That's all she had left in her possession. She had nothing left. That's her whole savings, checkings, whatever account. That's all she had, and she gave it to the temple. She literally gave everything, all that she had. And no one noticed. No one noticed but Jesus. Jesus noticed. Jesus noticed her poverty, and Jesus noticed her generosity. Jesus took notice of her, and Jesus praised her. She has given more tithes and more offerings than the rich young ruler had given in his whole lifetime. And he probably gave a lot to the temple. But he couldn't give everything. And so he left grieving. But this poor widow, she gave 2 copper coins, and she gave so much more than all those who had given before and after her could. She gave all. She gave everything. Lately, God has been working on my life. You know, I complain so much. I complain so much when God requires something of me because, well, discipleship is hard. Following Jesus is uncomfortable. Following Jesus always requires something. And if your faith does not demand something of you and makes you want to curse at God, I don't know if you're really following Jesus. I feel like every person that I read in the Bible has cursed at God sometimes because God has just asked too much of them. They're screaming and yelling at God in anger and desperation because faith requires something of us. Yes, our salvation is a free gift. It's a free gift, but grace is not cheap. Grace is costly. Grace is not cheap. Grace is costly. Salvation is free, but grace is costly. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German theologian, he says, "Grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his son. Ye were bought at a price, and what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. If we call ourselves followers of Christ and are unable to give up of ourselves like our Lord Jesus did, then are we really followers of Jesus? If my life is not full of sacrifice and giving up of things that are precious to me, just like my Lord Jesus gave up his own life, I don't think that I can be called a follower of Jesus. Some people have asked me if I think that Jesus really meant it literally when he said to go and sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. I honestly don't know. But this I do know, that I am all too tempted to make grace cheap. I am too tempted to make grace cheap when it is the most costly thing of all. Following Jesus is hard. Following Jesus is hard. And if it does not come at a cost, I am not following Jesus. Jesus could have noticed the rich people giving millions of dollars into the treasury. Those millions of dollars could have done so much to advance the kingdom of God, but he paid attention to a woman who gave everything she had, all she had to live on, even if it was only 2 copper coins. The story doesn't just tell us about Jesus praising the widow for her generosity and her rich faith. And yes, he was doing that. Jesus was calling her out because she was faithful and because she was generous. But even so, Jesus was also calling out an injustice. Jesus was saying to all the church leaders of that time, how dare you? How dare you allow such poverty? How dare you take up all this money and not take care of the poor in your congregation? How dare you flaunt your riches and allow such vulnerable people to not be taken care of? By pointing out the poor widow and giving everything she had, he was saying to the scribes, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, how dare you? When Jesus notices the widow and talks about the widow, he calls out the scribes who are devouring the widow's houses. That's what Jesus says in verse 40, just one verse before this story. How dare you say to the poor widow, you know, I can't give you anything, but can I pray for you? Jesus was saying, how dare you say to the poor widow, let's trust in God for your provision. He was saying, how dare you, when the priests and the elders say, let's just pray, let's just fast for this. When you have so much, right? When the priests and the elders have so much, he's saying to them, how dare you say to the poor widow, God bless you, when you are the one withholding the blessing from her? There is so much need in our current world, and I can't begin to name the full of them, but I'm gonna try. There's a famine in Sudan. There's the destruction from Harvey and Irma. There's 1,200 people who have died from flooding in Southeast Asia. There's the uncertainty of 800,000 immigrants because of the loss of the DACA program. There's the Rohingya refugees fleeing Myanmar. There's so much need in this world. And the church has so many resources. And the church has so much money, and the church has so much social capital, and the church might remain quiet, and the church might just continue with business as usual. Like the rich young ruler who was so focused on his own salvation, sometimes we are too tempted with our own problems. Sometimes we are too focused on our own spirituality, on our own faith, that we do not look outwards, that we don't even look at the people in this church who are hurting, who are needing. We are so focused on our own selves that we are unable to give all that we have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We are so focused on our own selves that we are unable to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus, through this text, is calling out those of us who would rather be religious than activists. Faith without deeds is dead. Generosity without concern for the poor is worthless. Obedience to the laws without caring for your neighbor is futile. Giving your tithes and your offerings but not giving to the poor, that's worthless. I don't know if you follow social media, but a couple weeks ago, Joel Osteen was blasted, right? And I don't know the whole of it. I don't know all the details, and I'm from Houston, so I don't care. I don't care. And I'm honestly tired of hearing about the controversy, but it did make me think. What is our response? What is my response when people are hurting? What is my response to need? What is my response? Do I notice it? Do I even notice that there's a need? What is my response to suffering? Do I even notice when suffering is there? Or am I like the disciples who maybe don't even notice the poor widow? What would Jesus do, right? So again, discipleship is hard. We are called to do the hard work. Grace is not cheap. Grace is costly. Jesus lived his life for people. He lived his life to break down the systemic injustices of his society, and he calls us to do the same. This is what it means to bring down the kingdom of heaven down to earth. We are to notice the widow, the poor people, the downtrodden in our midst, and then to ask, how is it that she is so poor? How is it that she is so poor when others in the temple are so rich? How is it that she has to give? How is it that she has to give all that she has left? How is it that the priests and the elders allow her to give all that she has left when the priests and the elders can dress in luxury? Following Jesus is hard. Being a disciple is hard. So may God give us the strength to persevere when we feel like following him is too difficult. May the Holy Spirit give us the courage to give up all that we have just to follow Jesus. May we truly love our neighbors as ourselves, even when it means sacrifice. And may we be brave enough to seek to truly become truer disciples and to at least try to live into that reality. Amen. Let's pray.